Hello and welcome into episode 36 of the Calcio Connection podcast, connecting with you, Italian football fans from all over the world. So we promised you guys this week we would have Coppa Italia previews. We're going to preview one of those matchups here on this episode. We'll start with Napoli versus Inter. Napoli took the first leg 1-0 at the San Siro way back, I believe in late February was when that matchup was played. So we're going to focus this episode on breaking down the second leg between Napoli and Inter, this time at the San Paolo. It's been a very long time since we've watched any calcio. So, you know, this Friday with Juve and Milan, they're tied 1-1 after their first matchup. And then Saturday with Napoli-Inter, it's really going to be a great weekend for calcio fans who have been waiting a long time for this. So before we introduce our special guest who's going to help us break down the Napoli side of things, let me introduce my co-host. I'm Alex Dono, alongside, as always, Jerry Mancini. Jerry, how are you?
Not bad. I don't even know if I'll have coverage for these Coppa Italia games. I might have to live stream it and use my sites that I've used all the last couple of years. So I hate live streaming it because it's not the same or as I watch it on DAZN. So, but I make do with what I have, but it's okay. I you know what? I was looking at the scores actually the other day. I didn't even realize that Juventus had tied Milan. For some reason, I thought Milan had lost that game. Then I remembered that snake of a guy, Cristiano Ronaldo, won a freaking free kick, penalty shot in the 90th minute, I think, added time. And, like, Juventus style, man, paying the refs to win, I guess, right?
No, well, it's funny you say that because I remember watching that game. It was so long ago. This was back in, like, February, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe the first week of March. And, like, it felt like a Milan win because, you know, you wouldn't really even expect them to tie Juventus. And then I look back at the result. Oh, they didn't actually win the game outright. They tied it.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm just talking shit if it was paid, if it was, like, all paid and everything. But at the end of the day, it's 1-1, and it gives me more. We talked about it last week or in our previous episode about if I believe that Milan can win it. And now that it's only tied 1-1, I have I feel pretty confident that they could actually steal that game and go to the finals. But we'll see what happens. At the end of the day, Milan's still shit, though.
So there's still a little bit of doubt, which is we're going to operate under the assumption that these games are going to happen on Friday or Saturday. I know that a comment from the Italian Minister of Health made it sound like they're still not 100% approved, which is strange because it seems like everyone's ready to play these games. But let's assume the games happen as scheduled. You're going to have on Friday. Both these games will be 9 p.m. Italian time. We're in Eastern time in the U.S. and Canada, so it'll be 3 p.m. for us. It'll be Juve Milan on Friday, Napoli Inter on Saturday. And we're going to focus on this episode on the Napoli Inter game Saturday. Napoli has the 1-0 lead in that, having taken the first leg 1-0 at the San Siro. So special guest joining us, a guy who's no stranger to this pod. He's the host of the great Forza Napoli pod, which Jerry and I have both been guests on over the last month or so. Our friend Joe Fischetti joins us. Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Alex. Jerry, thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, no question. And man, it's been a long time since they played the first leg. You know, and in fact, on your pod, we spoke about that first matchup. It was not a very exciting game, but Napoli played pretty well, counterattacking. You know, Inter missed some opportunities. You know, you just had a Fabian Ruiz absolute screamer from outside the box scoring the only goal in that one. So Napoli has the advantage, and, you know, they get the second leg on their home field at the San Paolo. Now, no fans will be in attendance, so you're not going to have, you know, the usual home field advantage the teams would enjoy in this scenario. But for what it's worth, prior to the stoppage of Serie A for COVID-19, Napoli was certainly in better form than Inter. Inter had suffered consecutive losses to Lazio and Juve, in addition to this Coppa Italia loss to Napoli in the first leg, where Napoli is, you know, unbeaten in their past five matchups. I mean, Joe, how much, if at all, do you think form, recent form from before the stoppage, might actually be a factor when these teams resume this weekend?
I don't think that form before the break is really going to mean all that much anymore. I think all any momentum that any team has had is now out the window. What I will say, though, is that I think the team is going to be a lot stronger. They all stayed back in Italy during the break. They've all rallied around Gattuso, and he's been instrumental in a number of facets. One, in keeping the players motivated and keeping them training even before the club returned to training, getting them workouts at home and being in touch, especially with Insigne. And then with the re-signing of Mertens and Zielinski, Gattuso's been very involved in those discussions as well. So I think in that sense, Napoli's going to have a bit of more of a camaraderie around the team, but I don't think that any form they had before the break, unfortunately, is going to translate after the break.
And, you know, you mentioned Gattuso. All signs are pointing to him getting extended, right? The contract being extended for a couple of years. I think it's well-deserved, if so.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's a foregone conclusion. Everybody loves him. De Laurentiis loves him. I think he's probably even going to take a pay cut because that's just the type of guy he is. Obviously, money is not a big thing for him after his playing career. And now it's really just a matter of not so much whether they're going to extend his contract as much as for how long. I've seen 2 or 3 years sounds like the right number.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, Jerry, you and I were talking in our previous episode about the work Gattuso has done there. And it's really not surprising. I mean, the only thing that made me a little bit skeptical, you know, when he was brought in was, you know, I know obviously Ancelotti had issues there late in his tenure, but I looked at Ancelotti as a world-class manager. And I know De Laurentiis is always chasing big names at this point, and I just wondered if he viewed Gattuso more as a caretaker and wasn't really going to give him a great shot to hold down that job long term. But yeah, Gattuso struggled at first because, you know, Napoli's mentality was in the toilet when he first took over. But you've seen the turnaround. Like, you have seen the attitude of that squad change, and the results that they had prior to the break for the pandemic was evident. And I mean, Jerry, I just expand the thought on, you know, how Gattuso has really, and it really shouldn't surprise too many people with what he was able to do at Milan before he was given the sack there. But I think he's really shown to be the right man for this job.
No, absolutely. And the first person who actually called me out and thought that Gattuso was going to do really well for Napoli was Joe Fischetti. And before he got into podcasting and writing, we would converse a lot about Napoli's season this year. And I remember he came over to my house to watch Napoli versus Lazio. And this is where, before his early stages, before he actually got into everything and got really much bigger now. And for me, he always said that a guy like Gattuso would be great to be in the dressing room because he can get people to do what is expected. He's not scared for an Insigne to say, no, I'm not going to do it. Or Mertens to maybe just hypothetically say that I'm not going to start this game. Fine. I don't want to be on this roster. And like, in a perfect example, like we always say is Alan and how he benched Alan because he wasn't trying in practice. He wasn't giving full effort. And the difference between Ancelotti and Gattuso is that Gattuso is more of a workhorse. We know the type of player he is. He always had to work very hard. I don't think he was the most skillful. Maybe I'm wrong in that area. But his attitude, his determination, the way he played the game is the way he's managing the game. Whereas Ancelotti, I find that I thought that at first that they did a poor job of firing him. But then Joe said a good point. This is a guy who can't get the most out of his players. He's not man enough to say that to call players out and discipline them and bench them. And that whole retreat, that it looked like he was a little bitch, basically. That's basically what he looked like. And I don't want to talk shit about Ancelotti like I do about Conte. Because I actually do like Ancelotti. And I think that he's such a successful manager. But this was something that maybe he didn't go out of his bubble. He's so inconform in what he's so used to that he didn't change his style or he didn't try something new to get the most out of his players, or he just didn't earn the respect of his players, like other managers have. And Gattuso is like Simone Inzaghi. They are very similar, where their playing style is being transitioned into how they manage the game. And I think that Gattuso is going to be a really good manager, because this is a guy like Simone Inzaghi who is learning the game, understanding the game. And I think that players who are not the most skillful understand the game in a different way, where they had to work harder, had to understand the game to get to that level, to know what they didn't have in order to get their game better. Whereas players such as Messi, Neymar, they just have it, and they didn't learn what they didn't have. It's there. And when they want to become a manager, they really need to take six steps backwards and say, okay, what did I not learn in my game compared to other players that maybe I need to understand in order to help these players get better? And that's where Simone Inzaghi and Gattuso come in and say, you know what? I understood what it took to get to that level. I understood that I wasn't there yet, and this is what the next level I needed to get there. And that's what he's transpiring with Napoli. And since he's managed with Napoli, maybe at first he was a caretaker manager. I think that there was no plan in hell that they had thought of keeping this guy next season. But in his short span, he has done a phenomenal job with Napoli. The fans are very demanding. It's very hard. And I think the fans have gained the respect of Gattuso. So I think these are good times for Napoli. And I always forget the director's name for Napoli, but these are like, I think that this is a good thing that Napoli and Lazio are two clubs who don't spend a lot of money and are doing things right. And you look at Milan, and it's like, how can a club get so many managerial hirings wrong? How can they get so many signings wrong? But you go look and you hire a Gattuso, and it's bang, perfect. And it's like, I don't know. I think the biggest mistake in the whole season of any team was Milan letting go of Gattuso, because now it's showing at Napoli what he's worth. He did it with Milan last season. He learned a lot there. And this is a steal signing for Napoli.
Well said. And so let's look ahead to the game on Saturday. Something worth noting about the format now for Coppa Italia, since the Serie A fixture list is going to be very frantic, you know, getting two games in a week for every team, you know, between June 20th and August 2nd. For Coppa Italia, for these semifinal legs that are remaining, there won't be any extra time, okay? So if either of these semifinals end in regulation tied on aggregate, they're just going to go straight to a penalty shootout, right? So with Napoli having the 1-0 advantage, if Inter gets, you know, a 1-0 win in regulation at Napoli, instead of going to extra time, they're just going to go right to the PK shootout. So, and I think it's a good thing, given that the Coppa Italia final is only going to be a few days later, and then you're playing a full Serie A schedule, and then, you know, teams, including both of these squads, still have, you know, European games to play starting up in August. So fine, no extra time. I'm great with that. So I'll look at, before we get Joe's take on the lineup that Napoli might field, I'll give my two cents on Inter. A big topic this week has been, according to the Italian papers, that Conte might very well tweak his formation to better serve Christian Eriksen. And this is a long time coming. I kind of wish he had started experimenting with this before the hiatus, because it might have done Inter some good. And I think now implementing this after 3 months off, it might be a little bit rough for the first part of this game coming up. But we're talking about, instead of the traditional 3-5-2 that Conte loves so much, to use a 3-4-1-2 with Eriksen playing a trequartista type of role behind the two strikers. And still, it's not even a lock that Eriksen will start this game. But even if he doesn't, you might have Stefano Sensi playing in that sort of a role behind two strikers. So I'm expecting, obviously, Handanovic in net. No debate there. And even if they wanted to use Daniele Padelli in this game, I don't know why they would. He's suspended for this game, so it's not going to happen anyway. So Handanovic in net for sure. Now it's center back, okay? At center back, there's been a lot of talk of players being injured or unfit. According to a report today, DeVry and Bastoni are healthy enough to play in this match, which is important because they would have been down, you know, two very important center backs. So it looks like it's going to be Bastoni, DeVry, and Skriniar as the three center backs. At wing backs, I would expect Ashley Young on the left. He's old, but he's had a lot of time to preserve his body in the last 3 months. Same can be said for Antonio Candreva, who I think is going to start on the right, at right wing back. And then midfielders, Brozovic is probably, you know, among the first two names you put on your team sheet. So he's certainly going to be back there. I think Barella will start as well, with Eriksen behind two strikers. And then I'm expecting Lukaku and Lautaro to be two strikers. So that's my expected starting 11. And I know, Joe, that there had been some talk a few weeks ago that with Inter being very unhappy about the very crowded fixture list, that they even maybe gave some thought to starting the Primavera in this Coppa Italia match in some form of protest. It's not looking like that's going to happen. I think they're going to field their best starting 11 possible. And I'm curious to your take on what Napoli's going to do, because it looks like Manolas is still injured. So any other injuries of note, and how do you expect them to line up?
So looks like Manolas is the only injury. The earliest, based on the latest reports, the earliest that he's expected to return is for the start of Serie A, which for Napoli is on the 23rd, which means he'll definitely not be playing in this match. But Maksimović is a more than capable fill-in, and he's played quite a bit this year because Koulibaly's missed a lot of time, and so has Manolas a little bit. So I'm not too concerned at that position. I did have a couple of thoughts on Inter's lineup before I get into Napoli's.
Oh, because sure.
I thought that the 3-4-2-1 was a strategy to help deal with the workload. And as you pointed out, it's really not. It's just a variation of the 3-5-2. And when I looked at it, I think that Eriksen, to me, makes the most sense over Sensi, because one, Inter is coming into this match down a goal, so they need to be a bit more attack-minded, not that they're not already. But also, as you mentioned in the first leg, Napoli played a very conservative style, which can be very frustrating. And in the first leg, Conte brought Eriksen on with about, I think, in the 66th minute, and it made an impact. He had a few shots at goal. So he might be thinking, okay, Eriksen worked well offensively. He adds more creativity, certainly more than Vecino would if he was playing. And he can link up between, you know, Brozovic and Lukaku and Lautaro. And he's also a goal-scoring threat himself. He's not just a playmaker. So I think that's really, at least in my opinion, not being an Interista, what Conte might be planning for. And then if it doesn't work out, he could just switch back to his normal 3-5-2. In terms of Napoli's lineup, you know, there's been a lot of debate about various positions, at least on the transfer market. One of those has been whether Ospina or Meret should be the number one keeper. It looks like Ospina is going to get the start, and I personally think he's going to play out the season, and then probably next season Meret would become the number one. And interestingly, there was a report I saw, I can't remember which company it was, but they produce valuations on players, and they do it by position. And Meret was actually 10th on the list for the top five leagues in terms of value, one spot above Donnarumma. So I personally think Meret is the future of number one for this club. For the back line, I think other than Manolas, everything else will be the same, which is Mario Rui on the left. We'll have Koulibaly back now to play in the center, and Giovanni Di Lorenzo on the right. And then you have Demme playing in the Regista just in front of those guys, Fabian and Zielinski in the center midfield. And then you have Insigne on the left. I think Mertens will be the starting striker here. I wasn't too sure how that was going to go, but obviously he has the new contract. There's a lot of talk about Milik in the papers and potentially a move to Juventus. So I think Mertens gets the start at striker. And then on the right wing, there's still a bit of debate whether it's going to be Callejon or Politano. And I'm expecting that to be Callejon playing on the right.
So as we go through some predictions, and full disclosure, this is going to be really tough for me, and it's probably going to be tough for all of us since we haven't seen either of these teams play in so long. But let me go to Jerry's neutral perspective first. I mean, Jerry, you know, given all that we've said about the lineups, the recent form, you know, even though it's been a long time, do you have a feeling, you know, keeping in mind the game's at the San Paolo, but an empty San Paolo, like, do you have an expectation as to who comes out victorious in this game and who moves on?
Well, that's tough. I think that Inter holds an advantage here because they were going to play a Napoli side who was showing great form. And aside from Lazio losing their advantage in the Serie A, in terms of the Coppa Italia, I think the one team that is at a disadvantage is Napoli of all four clubs. They were showing some of the best form. They were the only team to beat Lazio in the last, 22 games, which is such a big confidence booster for this team. When they did beat them, I think they were kind of struggling, and Insigne scored that goal in the first 5 minutes, and it just lifted everything up for this team going forward. So in terms of what's going to happen in Saturday's game, I think the goal that Napoli scored in the first tie is so crucial. They have the away goal, which is going to help them. And I believe that the away goals do take into effect in Coppa Italia, just like it does with Europa League and Champions League. So I'm pretty sure that's how it worked last year when Lazio was playing Milan, and I really paid attention to that. So in terms of everything, that goal is really going to come back to help Napoli. They can really defend. They can afford to make a mistake, if anything, if they give up one goal. It's really tough. I'm really happy that Conte is willing to change his formation, his style, and see how that goes, especially in the fact that maybe he's experimenting this to see if it works when the season resumes. Maybe he's tweaking to see how Christian Eriksen plays in his role, if they can adjust into a different type of formation. Maybe Conte doesn't really care about this game, and he's like, you know what, I'll use this as a practice game for matches ahead. Or maybe he does care and is just being very smart about it and utilizing the players that he has to the best of their abilities and what works best for them. In terms of Napoli, I do believe that Napoli is going to win this game. I say either 0-0 or 1-0. They're really going to protect the lead, and you're going to see a lot of... I think the first 10 minutes is going to be very poor football, where you're going to see missed time passes and shots going wide. But as soon as the 15-minute mark, 20-minute mark comes in, these players know what they're doing. For people who say, oh, they've been gone for 3 months, throw that out the door. These guys are professionals. They've been playing all their lives. It's not like they just started playing today. I think the biggest question is their athletic ability, their fitness level, of how they perform at. And if their fitness level is really high and it's really good to go, then I see no issues with either side.
What about you, Joe? Any prediction?
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of what Jerry said. Definitely helps to have that one goal advantage. Although I don't think the away goal makes much of a difference at this point, because Inter need to score. And so if Inter wins this game 1-0, then it's going to a shootout. Both sides have the away goal. And if it ends, say, 2-1 for Inter, then Inter has the advantage on away goals. But nonetheless, they do have the lead, so that changes things. I expect Napoli to play very defensive, like they did in the first leg and like they did against Barcelona in the Champions League, and make Inter have to go after it. I think it's funny because you mentioned, Alex, that home field advantage is probably not really there anymore. There's a few different things there. There's, aside from the fact that there's going to be no crowd, so obviously it won't look the same, it won't feel the same. You might have said, well, at least it's their home turf, but apparently Napoli decided just recently to replace the turf as well.
Oh, really?
And I don't know. I know the country was on lockdown, so maybe people weren't allowed to work in the stadiums to do this at the beginning of the COVID break. But it seems like they left this pretty late to the point where they are afraid to even train on the pitch, on the actual pitch, for fear of ruining it the day before the match.
And by the way, God forbid, I don't know what the weather forecast is for Naples this weekend, but God forbid it rains, because I've seen this happen in every outdoor sport. When you change your turf and then you get a rainstorm the day of the game or the night before the game, and your turf becomes ripe for leg injuries. Like I hope and pray it doesn't come to that, but if they just replace that turf, God forbid they have, and this may be a very dry time of the year in Naples for all I know. I'm not an expert on their weather, but God forbid they get a rainstorm on Friday night or Saturday morning, then that could be real trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully neither of us want to see anyone get injured. But I think the home field advantage is pretty much out the window, but I do think there are a few other reasons why I would give Napoli a bit of an edge on this one. The biggest one for me is that Inter play their makeup game against Sampdoria on the 20th, which now with the game being, this match being pushed back a day, is only is 4 days apart instead of three. But that's an important match for Inter. And with the COVID break, I think before this break, a lot of us would have ruled out Inter altogether. I think, first of all, they have to win that match to reduce Juve's lead to 6 points. And if they do that, I don't think that lead is insurmountable anymore. Again, because of this break, who knows how people are going to play, especially in the first couple of games. Juventus is also playing in the Coppa, so it's possible that they could drop some points here. And to me, that means that Inter now have to manage their workload, and they have to manage their mindset and really focus on one game at a time. And when it comes to the workload, we talked about the formations, and you noted, Alex, that Ashley Young and Antonio Candreva are both on the older side. And even though they've been off for a while, I'm curious to see if they're going to be fully match fit, or if Conte will need to use some of these extra substitutions to replace the wing backs, whereas for Napoli, they are eliminated from the Scudetto, as far as I'm concerned. They're pretty far away from qualifying for the Champions League. So this is their number one priority, and I think they'd be more inclined to leave these guys out there just a little bit longer, and maybe that gives them a slight edge in this match. As far as predicting the score, I would say probably a 1-1 draw is what I'm going to go with Napoli advancing on aggregate.
I'm going to make kind of a wacky prediction, and I don't really have a whole lot of conviction as to who wins the game. I will make a pick there, but what I talk about when I say a wacky prediction is that something I noticed when Bundesliga first came back from the pandemic, from a lot of time off, was the areas of most of those squads that seemed the most disorganized after the long break were the defenses. So, and you know, this may be off because Serie A is a more sound defensive league anyway, much more sound than Bundesliga. But if that trend is any indication, that maybe the lack of organization and fitness after so much time off, and maybe the sloppiness might actually lend itself to more goals. So I just have this weird feeling. If this game had been played when originally scheduled, I could have certainly seen a 1-1 draw or a 1-0 victory for either team. So the bold prediction I'm going to make is we see a 2-1 or even a 3-2 in this one, that maybe the sloppiness might actually lend itself to, you know, the scoring being a little bit ahead of the defenses and some of the goalkeeping. So, yeah, I don't know. And I'm going to, you know, maybe this is because somebody has to carry the flag for Inter, and me being the Interista, I am going to give the edge to Inter. I'm going to say maybe in a 2-1. I mean, for what it's worth, you know, back in January. They showed they can score a few goals at the San Paolo. They had the 3-1 victory in the first matchup of the City A campaign.
You biased piece of crap.
Hey, listen, man.
I've been not trying to swear for the last like half hour, guys. I'm jonesing to say something. I'm sorry. Like, it's just eating me apart. I hear you talking about 3-2 Inter, and like, screw you. You know who's from Napoli? Ciro Immobile, okay? Napoli. So,
well,
Napoli,
Jerry, if I'm right, will you apologize to me, like in the episode afterwards? Are you gonna forget this ever happened? Because if you can mark down my prediction 2-1 Inter and they advance to the Coppa Italia final, I expect a full apology.
Oh man, I can't. Ciro Immobile is blood, man. Like, even if I don't have ties to like being a Napoli fan, there's ties in other ways. Like, it's Ciro and that's it. And you know what? Conte's little bitch. Yeah, I've been dying to say that. Conte's little bitch. Who cares? That bitch ass is gonna lose. That's it. Done.
So I'm gonna go with 2-1 and the away goals being the difference for Inter. And I'll give a goal to Lukaku and a goal to Eriksen, and I'll give a goal to Dries Mertens for Napoli, because anytime you ever have a player that is either a former Inter player or a guy who was linked to Inter, which is the case of Mertens, I can almost guarantee you he's going to score against Inter on Saturday just because his name was in so many Inter-related conversations. I think the one thing that really scares me about this matchup is, I mean, you guys both know damn well that Interisti are very paranoid about refereeing. The entire world seems like a conspiracy against us. So when I saw this morning that Gianluca Rocchi was assigned to this match, I immediately started sweating, because, you know, he's not a very good referee to begin with, but so many of his errors over the years seemingly go against Inter that might be one thing that makes my prediction of a victory, you know, feel a little bit discouraging. Don't be surprised if a questionable penalty goes the other way. So, I mean, listen, Jerry can rip me all he wants. He can rip me all he wants. But if I'm right, I expect the next episode we tape after that matchup, I expect a full apology. So, I don't know, no, guys.
You got Koulibaly in, and you got Kostas Manolis out. Manolis getting an injury. I don't want an injury to anybody. Yeah. But missing that guy for Napoli is not a big loss. I think he's overrated. I don't think he's as good as what people think he is. He hasn't had a great season for Napoli. He's been such a liability in the back end. With Koulibaly returning and like playing this Saturday, major upgrade. This guy's been taking too much fucking flack this season. Such a great center back. I would love him on Lazio any day. He's having a mediocre season. It happens to players. Let this guy find his form. He didn't play in the preseason. He didn't build that chemistry with Manolis. Let him play. He's gonna rebound. I think this is a guy who's going to come back. And in the last 12 games and plus Coppa Italia, this is one player who Napoli's going to really be happy is back in form. And he's really going to pay dividends for this team.
Well said, Joe. And any parting thoughts on the matchup?
No, that's really it. I think, although to Jerry's point there, I think Manolas has actually been better than Koulibaly this season, to be honest. But no, I'm just really looking forward to getting Calcio back and having some matches to talk about and review and write about. It's really exciting.
And, you know, Joe, aside from this matchup, you wrote a really good article for World Football Index about how, you know, this Coppa Italia can affect European places. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because we got a final four this year of clubs that really can influence next year's Europa League qualification. And what I mean is you have Juventus and Inter both alive, and they're both more than likely, if not have already qualified for Champions League. And the way the rules are written is if the Coppa Italia winner is already in another tournament, so is already in the Champions League, and they win the cup, then that position goes to the seventh place team who would enter the qualifying round. So not directly to the group stage. Similarly, if a team that is already in a Europa qualification spot Fint wins the Coppa Italia, then that frees up that seventh spot as well. So from at least from Napoli's perspective, there's not really a lot of bad outcomes here, because either they win the Coppa Italia, which means they automatically qualify for Europa League, or Juventus, if they lose to Inter and Inter wins a Coppa Italia, or if they beat Inter and lose to Juventus in the final, then seventh place qualifies, and that's the place that Napoli is currently sitting in sixth, so they gives them a little bit of wiggle room. And even for Milan, who's currently sitting in seventh, mind you, Verona has a game in hand, they may benefit from that seventh spot opening up as well. So, and then same thing, if by some chance Roma wins this year's Europa League, then they automatically qualify, I believe, for Champions League. So there's a lot of different permutations, but a lot of them point to Serie A having, they always have three spots. One of them is typically reserved for the Coppa Italia winner, but in this year's Coppa, it looks like seventh place will get to qualify for Europa League.
Awesome stuff. Make sure you follow Joe on Twitter, his personal account, Joe_Fischetti5. Make sure you follow his podcast at Forza Napoli Pod. Make sure you listen and subscribe to the Forza Napoli Pod. And hell, make sure you keep listening and subscribe to this podcast, The Calcio Connection. You can find us on Twitter at CalcioConPod. And whatever device or service you listen to us on, if you can leave us a 5-star rating, it's a huge help. If you can also take a couple minutes and leave us a review, that's also very nice as well. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Alex Dono, Dono spelled D-O-N-N-O. Make sure you follow Jerry at JMancini8. We'll talk to you guys next time on the Calcio Connection podcast. Ciao.